This is Golf with Jay Delsing. A two-time college All-American at UCLA. A participant in nearly 700 PGA Tour events. 7 professional wins to his credit. Over 30 years of professional golf experience. A member of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hey, good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I've got my buddy Reed Lowe sitting next to me. Reed, welcome to the show, and let's talk a little golf, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Jay, hanging out at Wild Crush, your amazing bar, helping out one of our friends with cancer, raising a little bit of money today. So I love golf. I'm very average, unlike you, but I hit it a long way when it's straight, so I'm happy.
And I hit it everywhere. Listen, we formatted the show like Around the Golf, and the opening segment is called the On the Range segment. It's brought to you by the Gateway section of the PGA. We really appreciate their folks' support for the show. We also are giving away a dozen TP5 golf balls every week. Send me an email, jay@jaydelsinggolf.com, and you will be entered to win a dozen TP5 golf balls. Okay, so what Reed said is this is really a special show and a special week. We're gathered at Wild Crush to raise money for our friend Mary Olson, who is in a hell of a fight right now with cancer. Mary's a strong woman, and we're going to do anything we can to support her and to help her and her family get through this this time. So we have one hope. Let's talk a little, Reed, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. You had a great career in the NHL. You played 5 years, 4 for the Blues, over 250 games. We're going to get into some of your experiences because I can't wait to ask you a few things that probably most fans of yours would love to know about being on the ice. But let's talk a little bit about power play. Tell the folks what you're doing, because you're a big part of our community. You're from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, but St. Louis is your home now.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Was drafted by the Blues in 96, turned pro in 97, spent a few years in the minor leagues with the Worcester Ice Cats, and then went on to play here for 5 years, 4 years plus a lockout, 04-05, and then finished my career off with the hated Chicago Blackhawks and their farm team. And then I retired in St. Louis, and that was a really easy decision. And ever since I came into this town, I knew that this was going to be my home when I was done playing hockey, as do 40-plus other guys that are part of our alumni. We have the largest alumni in NHL here in St. Louis, which is pretty amazing when you look at the size of this town. But it's all due to the people, the way we get treated. Once you've kind of earned, I always tell people it's not easy to get into the clique in St. Louis, but once you've earned your stripes, they treat you like you were always from
you
here.
You can't get out, Reed. You're stuck, man. I'm stuck here forever. That's right.
And I just absolutely love it. I love being a part of the community. People still.
Let's hang on. And so, Reed, we're talking. One of the things that I've always wanted to know is that so many NHLers stay here when their career's over.
Yeah, it's not just NHLers. We've got a ton of the old football Cardinals. We've got the former St. Louis Rams players, a ton of Cardinal baseball players, and it just comes back to this being the best sports town in the country as far as I'm concerned. I've traveled to all of them. I've got friends that have played there. It all goes back to Bobby Plager. Bobby Plager was the first one to really establish that love relationship that he did with the city, and then we just watched him. And we just acted like him, and we made sure that we loved this city as much as the city loved us. And so we're fortunate enough to have an amazing community that wraps their hands around us and shows us love. So why would we not want to be here? And so for me, I work for Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers, which is an industrial and construction auction company, for 9 years. Spent a couple years at the Cat dealer running their used equipment, Favorite Cat. And then I got into my own thing, and I opened up a liquor distribution company, which is, challenging, to say the least, especially when you're the small guy on the block. There's a lot of tastings, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. I got an amazing team and a sales manager that's actually here tonight doing tastings on the One Hope. And that's a special product for us because they give back to the community. It's a nonprofit, and $3 off of every bottle is donated back after 100 cases are purchased or sold through any store or any distributor. And it goes all back to the local food bank. So not only are you getting to have a nice glass of wine, but you're also getting having the ability to help your own community while you're drinking it. So we're really happy to have it. It's an on-premise only, so you can't buy it in liquor stores or gas stations or anything like that. You got to come here to Wild Crush or wherever else it's carried and help the community.
So what's really neat is what we're doing with the One Hope brand, and that Reed's company Power Play we've worked together to get this in Wild Crush today. You buy a bottle and you get one ticket to a chance for a raffle. We've got some wine to give away. We've got four Blues tickets. Diane Wickenheiser was kind enough to get four Blues tickets at the Plaza level. I've got a golf basket that we're putting together. And so we're just trying to do anything we can to raise a little money for the Olsons. And golf, Reed, is a societal powerhouse when it comes to raising money. We just donated. We just found out the Ascension Charity Classic wrapped up its second year up at Norwood Hills this past September. Padraig Harrington was the champion, and we raised $1.3 million. Hey, Ack, how we doing?
Good to see you, man.
You too, buddy. Thanks for coming in. Hey, Deb. So our good friend Debbie and Steve Ackerman just rolled in the Wild Crush. And so giving is such a part of what we do here in St. Louis, you know, and when someone's down, you really learn what sort of family you have out in the community, don't you?
You really do. And just to speak to what golf does for raising funds for people, I could literally do a charity golf tournament every single day of the summertime. We get asked as Blues alumni to be at these things, and they're all raising money for something. Children's cancers, you know, people, individuals that are down on their times, whatever the case may be, to our Blues alumni raising it for what we do. And so golf is just that sport, a gentleman sport that everybody loves. You don't have to be great at it to enjoy it, as long as you don't take it too seriously right. You're out there. So I love the game of golf, and I love what golf gives back to their communities. And it's not just St. Louis. I would imagine it's like that everywhere. It's a great way to get out, enjoy a nice day, raise some money, and be a part of it. And I went to the final day of the Ascension Classic today, and I got to actually, my son and I, who's sitting over there, we got to walk around and follow John Daly, which was quite a treat. The course is in great shape. You know, you guys did an unbelievable job putting that tournament on. And it, one of the things that I heard from just the media and all the pros was, you know, with the stands and the grandstands and everything, was those guys were like, felt like they were back on the PGA Tour again, and the fans were out. And it's one awesome thing about St. Louis is whenever something like that's going on, they always come out and drove to support it. You saw what happened at Bellerive in 2018, one of the greatest turnouts in a tournament that I've ever seen in my life, and just a really fun thing. So golf's a special thing in my heart, and I've been playing it since I was 12 years old. Somehow I'm still a 14 handicap. I'm not sure how I can practice anymore to get that down, but I guess it's just my ADD gets in the way.
Right. Oh, man. And the members at Norwood Hills just did a great job. The golf course, the HNS team, Ascension, it was just a fantastic event. And then to have Padraig Harrington as your champion, you know, that just tops the entire thing off.
He's hitting the ball like he was 15 years ago.
he's won three majors on the PGA Tour, and he's hitting the ball 25 yards longer now. That's not fair.
No,
I don't know how you relate that to hockey, Reed, but that sucks when you're playing.
When you start doing things longer than you did when you were younger, you've obviously done something. And he's so aggressive in his swing and the way that he swings the club nowadays, and how he plays the game of golf. And you know, I was watching the championship. He just won it, and it was a repeat. The Champions Tour, and he was like 26 under, and the next closest guy was like 17. And he was not turning it off. He was like going for eagles and birdies, and he was just the way that he competes inside of himself to be better than himself is really, really crazy.
So Reed, one of the things, we'll talk about this, then we're going to take a quick break, but you're seeing an athlete who's really good, obviously, but he's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. Talk a little bit about that as you relate it to your sport, because look, everybody has got great when they get to that level, has really, really good competitive nature and good skills. But to be able to pull it out when you want it, it's not easy, is it?
It's not easy at all. And I coach the Junior Blues here in St. Louis, and are one of the coaches for the Junior Blues here in St. Louis. And I tell the kids all the time, when you get to the level where everybody's good, it's 90% mental and 10% physical. Everybody's got the physical capabilities of doing what's necessary. But do you have that 90% in your mental capabilities to stay on track, have a bad moment, but rebound, show the character that needs to be done? And that's why you see first-round draft picks in the NHL not really pan out, right? Like, my line mate in junior was drafted 15th overall by the Montreal Canadiens and played 42 games in the NHL. I was drafted in the 7th round as a 19-year-old rookie in the Western Hockey League, and I played 256 games. Mike Keane, a guy that played here a little bit in St. Louis, played over 1,200 games, undrafted, went to the Montreal Canadiens. He's like 5'11", 195 pounds, and just scrapped his way through the game and just wanted it more. So I think when you talk about professionals at that level, it's so hard to keep yourself on track and keep yourself mentally stable, because the pressure is tremendous. And those guys that can figure out a way to get that done are the guys that win.
Absolutely. Guys, that's going to wrap up the Unarranged segment. I'm going to run the tip of the cap. The tip of the cap is brought to you by Colin Burnt, my buddy at Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. You need any sort of vehicle, call Colin at 314-966-0303. He's a great guy. You can email me, jay@jdelsongolf.com, and I'll personally introduce you to Colin. He's taking great care of me and my daughter. He's taking care of Pearlie. So our tip of the cap is your local and favorite charity here in town. We've just announced $1.3 million were raised at the Ascension Charity Classic this year. Today, we're at Wild Crush raising money for Mary Olson and her fight against to kick cancer. So do something in a meaningful way. Jump in and support the charity that you love. And that's the tip of the cap. It's brought to you by Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delson. I love having Doherty Business Solutions as the title sponsor of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. You already know that they're the number one largest IT consulting firm and the largest software developer in the St. Louis region. You also know that there are over 2,500 Doherty teammates in 30 states and 3 countries around the world. But what you may not be aware of is what Doherty Business Solutions does right here in our own community. They were the sponsor for the first Advocate PGA event at Glen Echo this past September. Doherty Business Solutions was also a presenting sponsor of the Ascension Charity Classic. They have created Access Point, which builds diversity in the IT workforce. This is a game changer in our community. Literally, hundreds of mostly young African-American women are getting $50,000 to $60,000 per year jobs right out of high school, and that training begins in high school. Doherty Business Solutions believes talent is equally distributed, but access to that opportunity is not. Ron Doherty, our founder at Doherty Business Solutions, is the chair of the 2023 Heart Ball, supporting the local American Heart Association Foundation. These are just a few examples of the positive things Doherty Business Solutions is doing right now in our community. How would you like access to 90 holes of golf? Well, that's what happens when you join at Whitmore Country Club. You get access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. And guess what? No cart fees included in that deal. There's no food and beverage minimums. There's no assessments. They have a 24-hour fitness center, 2 large pool complexes, 3 tennis courts. Year-round social calendar includes holiday parties, picnics, date nights, live music. They even have a kids club for your children and much, much more. There's junior golf, junior tennis, and swim teams available. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, and they have a wonderful staff. If you get out there, you got to poke your head in the golf shop and say hello to my friend Bummer. He is a terrific guy, and he will help you with your game and show you around. And don't forget, there are golf leagues, skins games, members tournaments, and couples events available all year round. Visit WhitmoreGolf.com. That's WhitmoreGolf.com.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing. For golf tips, news on the latest equipment, and everything golf, log on to golfwithjaydelsing.com. The front nine is coming up.
After my knee replacement, I was able to swing the golf club again without any pain. SSM Health Physical Therapy guided me through the rehab process, and when I was ready, one of their specially trained KVES certified physical therapists put me on the 3D motion capture system. It was awesome. They evaluated my posture, alignment, and the efficiencies of my swing. They gave me golf-specific exercises to help make my swing more efficient and repeatable. Call 800-518-1626. Tell them Jay sent you for special pricing. Your therapy, our passion. Folks, are you in the market for some additional protection for your ride? You need to call my friends at Vehicle Assurance. Their number is 866-341-9255. Sherry Fain is the owner and president, and she and her team are committed to helping you with your unexpected auto repair bills. They are committed to finding the right protection for you, your budget, and your family. They only work with the top vehicle service providers in the country. Get the protection and the peace of mind you deserve. That's Vehicle Assurance, 866-341-9255 for a free quote. 866-341-9255. Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay, and I'm sitting next to former Blues hockey player Reed Lowe, and we are at Wild Crush. We are raising money for Mary Olson and her fight against cancer, and Reed's been kind enough to bring the One Hope variety of wine here in Wild Crush. For every bottle of wine that you buy, you get a raffle ticket. We've got some silent auctions going on for some bottles of wine that were donated by Scotty Coleman and Sherry Coleman, and oh, gosh, I forget. What else have we got? We got some golf giveaways.
Tickets.
We got Blues tickets. Swing on by Wild Crush if you can and help us support our friend Mary Olson. All right, so, Reed, I'm going to break into some golf stuff, and I want you to jump in wherever you feel like. We've got this LIV situation going where we've got this rival league, as you know. This week in the news, Tiger Woods came out with some strong, strong comments, basically saying that if there's ever a way to try to get the two entities together, meaning the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, Greg Norman's got to go. I've known Greg. I've played with Greg. Guy's got an enormous ego, and I really think, and about a week or so ago, Rory McIlroy came out with really, really similar comments, thinking, you know, they both mentioned there's got to be an adult in the room. And when you get dealing with egos like this and a situation that, you know, the tour's never had anything like this. You know, I know that the NHL dealt with the WHA and
a little bit the KHL.
Yeah, and the KHL and this is new territory for the PGA Tour. And I'll be honest, I can't stand the way our commissioner handled the thing. I think he really screwed it up. I wish he would have not had any sort of reaction to them. I wish he would have just tap the brakes, let this thing go for a little bit, let it play out, and let some of the smoke settle. However, what is your thoughts when you see something like this? You're a professional athlete. You've been in sports your whole life. You know what it's like in the background here. What are your thoughts on something like this?
Well, first off, my biggest challenge with the LIV Tour is I don't really know how to watch it. I really think they do a poor job of letting the layman fan find a way to get it. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Saudi money that was being distributed, and people were trying to say, hey, these guys are bad for going and taking this money, or, you know, TV stations are scared to bring it on because of this, that, and the next thing. Listen, half the teams are owned by China in the NBA, so take that and just throw it right in the garbage. It doesn't matter. But for me, in my life and how I live my life and how I try and be, it comes down to one thing. It's time to get it right, not be right. And Greg Norman doesn't seem to have an understanding of how to get it right. Now, that being said, I think that the PGA has been, even though they think the players get paid very well, I think there was a little bit unbalance on that. And I think when you take a look at in 2004, 2005, when I dealt with the National Hockey League lockout, it was the same type of thing. And I think the NHL is the strongest professional sports league in the world right now because they have a salary cap, but they also have a salary basement where the lower level teams have to spend a certain amount of money, and the cap basement and the cap top floor they run together. And there's a reason, there's things that are going on with that. So the NHL and Gary Bettman, even though I'm not a huge fan of Gary Bettman, I really feel like they got that right. And you take a look at how the salary cap's gone from $45 million to almost $90 million now. It's doubled in 15 years. That's a tremendous, tremendous job by the NHL, the National Hockey League Players Association, and then just the players in general. And so when this is golf's really first hiccup, when it comes to a bargaining agreement and that type of thing. And so really what has to happen is, you know, Greg, based upon what everybody says, Greg Norman seems to be the problem. So if that's the case, then they're going to have to figure that out. But when Tiger Woods comes out and starts, like, anybody can talk. But when Tiger talks,
everybody's quiet.
It's a whole different story. It's like Gretzky coming out and saying something. And so, or, you know, or a Tom Brady or a Michael Jordan. And when those guys speak, everybody listens. And so I like the format. I don't understand a lot about the Live Tour. I like the group thing. It's cool. I don't fault any of the players for taking the money. You're an absolute fool. If you get offered $200 million for 3 or 4 years and you say no, why? It doesn't really matter. I shame the PGA a little bit for not allowing the players to play on both. They're only hurting themselves. But at the end of the day, there has to be some level of arrangement and agreement between the two entities in order to really make it right so that everybody's kind of getting it. But again, listen, you know, rich man's problems, right?
Like, first world problems, no question.
There's people that can't afford to eat, and we're talking about who's getting
the bigger
share of the $100 billion or whatever the number is. So at the end of the day, I want to see them get along. I'd like to see them find a platform like the rest of the golf leagues out there. It's not like the PGA is the only golf league in the world, right? There's a European tour that's very prominent and has a lot of players that come over and play in the United States and a lot of the majors. So for me, I love watching golf. I love watching golf on Sunday. I hope they get it right. I hope there's a balance that they can figure out. And again, if Tiger comes out and says that Greg's a problem, he probably is. But again, that's going to be what the Saudis want to do and how they're going to run it and how they're going to do it. And those guys typically don't take a back seat.
Well, it's interesting because I love what you said about the NHL because they really have gotten it right, I think. And I also love what you said about getting it right, not necessarily being right, because in the opportunity to try to be right, your ego gets in the way. And we all know when our egos get in the way, it'll definitely make it difficult to make a right or wrong decision. One of the problems here, though, Reed, is that when you sign to play in the NHL, you're not allowed to go play in the KHL at the same time. And see, we all signed. We don't have a union. And that's one of the bigger – that is potentially part of the problems. But we signed, and Tiger Woods signed the same stuff I did. We signed all of our stuff away to the PGA Tour because they need to control our rights so that they can guarantee a product. You couldn't imagine Michael Jordan owning his own rights, even though, you know, he's got to play for the Chicago Bulls, and it's got to be under the NBA umbrella. So there's some really tricky to this whole situation, especially because we're independent contractors, so to speak, because we're supposed to be just that by definition. I don't think there's so much conflict in that, Reed. There's no way that works.
When you get done playing in the PGA, or when you're not doing it anymore, or you're on in another league or whatever, do they still hold your rights? This was a problem in the National Hockey League with the NHL Alumni Association, and Gretzky and Bobby Orr and a bunch of guys said, whoa, 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 all of these jerseys in these alumni games that they're playing at Winter Classic, and all, the NHL was getting all that money. The NHL Alumni Association was getting nothing. They had like $17,000 in the bank, and there was two employees. Until about 5 years ago when Gretzky, Messier, Bobby Orr, Guy Lafleur, Mario Lemieux, and a few other guys walked in there, Glenn Healy, who's now the executive director for the National Hockey League Alumni Association, went in and said, listen, a guy like Joe Murphy's living in a tree in Toronto because the NHL wouldn't take care of him after he was done, and said, oh, you're not in the league anymore, you know, but we still hold the rights to market you in any way, shape, or form, but you're not in our league anymore. And so what the Alumni Association did with the help of a guy like Wayne Gretzky, and Gretzky and Lemieux got to be in that room or it's not going to happen.
Right.
They said, this is enough. We have to make sure that we stop and we take care of these players after they're done playing in the game and they're not a part of it anymore. And so they got that back. They're helping guys that need drug and alcohol abuse. They're helping those guys. They're helping guys that are falling down on hard times. And so, for me, I was happy to see something like that happen. I don't know how it regulated in golf. If you ever get your rights back or however that works, or, you know, these guys that are off onto the Champions Tour, if they go somewhere else, however that works. But I think it's at a point right now where I'm not a huge fan of unions, but I think there needs to be a collective group of players that get together and have somebody that's minding their best interests.
We don't have that at all. We're terrible when it comes to that.
I think the players would be very adverse to do something like that and to go out and find a way to you know, call it a union, call it whatever you want, but just a group where they could kind of have their best interest looked after. And as soon as they start to understand that and know that they're stronger together rather than apart and individualized and their own entities, they're going to probably have some more success making some headway in this issue that they're having today.
Well, I think that's a great point. We are wrapping up the front nine. The front nine is brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic. Folks, September 5th through 10th, Norwood Hills Country Club 2023. Padraig Harrington will be the defending champ. Don't forget about the Advocate PGA event that was at Glen Echo last year. That is brought to you by Darty Business Solutions. Darty Business Solutions is also the title sponsor of my show. I thank Ron Darty and his team of over 2,500 people around the world, three different countries that do just fantastic things for the community. That's going to wrap up the front nine, but don't go anywhere. Reed and I will be right back for more golf with Jay Delsing on the back nine.
Powers Insurance is a family-owned agency right here in St. Louis that specializes in providing personalized coverage for the client who has a lot going on. At Powers, they understand that you and your life do not fit in a simple box. So guess what? Neither should your insurance coverage. Go to powersinsurance.com or call 314-725-1414 and ask for Tim Davis. That's powersinsurance.com.
Hey, this is Jay Delsing for SSM Health Physical Therapy. Our golf program has the same screening techniques and technology as the pros on the PGA Tour use. SSM Health Physical Therapy has the Titleist Performance Institute trained physical therapist that can perform the TPI screening on you, as well as use the K-Vest 3D motion capture system. Proper posture, alignment, etc. can help you keep your game right down the middle. We have 80 locations in the St. Louis area. Call 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at ssmphysicaltherapy.com. Your therapy, our passion.
Good Sportsmanship will be back in St. Louis with the return of PGA Tour champions at the 2023 Ascension Charity Classic presented by Emerson. This year, Padraig Harrington took the Champions Trophy, but the real winners were again local St. Louis charities. Together with our corporate sponsors and fans, we were able to donate over $1 million to those who need it most. Thank you, St. Louis, and join us at historic Norwood Hills Country Club September 5th through the 10th for the third annual Ascension Charity Classic. Thank you, St. Louis.
Hi, this is Peter Jacobson, and you're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing.
I want to tell you about a family-owned and operated golf business that's been right here in St. Louis for over 40 years. I'm talking about Pro-Am Golf Center. That's right, Pro-Am Golf Center. I know you know the name, but I'm not sure you know what they really have to offer. They have everything a seasoned golfer like myself could need, all the way down to what a beginner would want. Pro-Am Golf Center has the lowest price in the area for custom club fitting. I just went and visited CJ. He is terrific. If you call them now, mention my name, Jay Delson, you will receive a discount on that already low club fitting price. Their number is 314-647-8054. Ask for CJ. Or you can visit them at proamgolfusa.com. That's proamgolfusa.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I've got my buddy Reed Lowe, St. Louis Blues enforcer, NHL alumni with me, and we're headed to the back nine. It's brought to you by the folks at Pro-Am Golf Centers. Guys, we've had a consistent message all year. Call CJ and get fitted. It will help your golf game immensely. 314-647-8054. Call CJ and get fitted. All right, Reed. Let's talk hockey now. No more golf for a minute. Living the dream. We both got, you dreamed of playing in the NHL. I dreamed of playing on the PGA Tour. Phenomenal idea. Dream to watch it become realized, right?
Unreal.
So I never had anybody wanting to kick my ass, literally and physically. They just wanted to shoot lower than I did. Mm-hmm. So, Bud, walk us through this. So I watched your Bob Probert fight. Who... top five all time?
Gotta be top five all time.
Has to be top five all time.
Yeah, just an absolute maniac.
Toughest guys. What most people don't know, Bob had great hands. Guy could score goals,
too. He had 80 points in a season. He was in the All-Star game.
Ridiculous.
And you know, rode shotgun with a guy named Steve Yzerman, who's my favorite hockey player of all time. And, you know, I didn't grow up wanting to be a tough guy and an enforcer. It kind of just got handed to me, and then I had to make a decision in my life whether that was something that I wanted to pursue or didn't want to pursue. And I was 17 years old. I was playing in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. It's Tier 2 hockey. And the coach put the other two tough guys against me in an inter-squad game, and I took them both out. And he asked me if I scored four goals in the game, too. And he asked me if I could do that again. I'm like, score four goals? He's like, no, beat the hell out of that guy. I said, if it means I'm going to make the team, you point him out, I'll take him out. And from there, it was gone. I tell people all the time, I've never been in a bar fight or a street fight ever in my life. I'm not a fighter. I don't like to fight. But this was an opportunity for me to make the NHL, and I was just willing to do anything. And when my skill and my ability to play the game ran thin, this was another opportunity for me to step into a role that was going to get me where I wanted to be. And so I was actually pretty good. I found out I was pretty good at it. And so I just rode that train. Feared every moment of it. I was almost sick to my stomach knowing that I was going into a game to fight, you know, literally the 30 toughest guys in the world in the only legal bare knuckle fighting in the world, right?
Like,
the only
legal. It doesn't make any sense to my brain, Reed. So you're out on the ice, and there's this understanding by you guys that this is going to happen. Help us out. Like, what the hell?
It's not necessarily premeditated, but it's pre-thought. Like, I know that, especially early in the season, we're jostling to see who the toughest guy in the league is. I always wanted to challenge the toughest guys in the league so that I could give myself a reputation that would make my teammates 3-4 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier. And if they knew that I was on the bench, like Tony, Al MacInnis always says, I'll take a cutout of Tony Twist sitting on the bench than some fourth line Russian player that's not going to do nothing.
Amen.
He said, that presence, just being there. And Al was a big advocate for me. My first year, I was a healthy scratch a lot. And then my next 3 years, I wasn't ever a healthy scratch because those guys wanted me on the bench. They knew that I was going to take care of business when time came. And I got off on that. Like, that's what I loved about it, was being the protector. I was the one guy in that dressing room that everybody knew when it came down to knuckles, that I was the guy that was going to step in front of everybody and make it happen. And the love that I received from my teammates to do that was what really drove me to make sure that I took care of them. I was tough enough to get it done. If I just had to fight a guy to fight, I was tough. But if I was protecting one of my teammates, you better be ready, because I'm willing to die. And so you want to take me down, you better be willing to do it too. And it was just the way I was rigged. It was the way that it happened for me. And, you know, I got to live a dream doing it. I get frustrated that they've tried to somewhat eliminate that portion of the game, because there's a guy out there that is the first to the charity event. He's the last one to leave. He's always going to be grateful for the role that he has. And a lot of these guys that are superstars that grow up, I don't think they have the same appreciation for the National Hockey League career that they had, like a tough guy does. Because if I didn't have that role, I wouldn't have made it.
You know, Reed, it's interesting because the game's changed, and you know, you can't even touch somebody anymore, and it's 2 minutes for everything. But back in your day, that was not the case. And there was people, you know, Bernie Federico is one of my dearest friends in the world. And he told me, you know, I'm skating on the ice and there's, 20 guys on the other team that are literally wanting to remove the head from my shoulders because, you know, I'm one of the better players on our side and I kind of run our offense, et cetera, et cetera. And they have guys like you to keep the other guys honest. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, keep the other guys honest is what it was about. But, you know, for me, I was never a guy. I was always going to play hard against the other team's best players. But you never seen an enforcer go attack a best hockey player. You know what I mean? It wasn't – we just weren't rigged like that. We were too busy protecting our own that we were the last guy. Now, if I caught somebody in the trolley tracks or if I had a chance to lay a good solid hit on them, I was going to do it. I'll deal with the consequences after.
Right.
But I'm not going to go dirty somebody up. And for me, that's changed in the game. Wayne Gretzky barely got body checked, and Sidney Crosby's had 2 stints of 9 months or more on the IR from a concussion. So – where are we making our, you know, what's the NHL want here? You want your best players to be out there and feel comfortable, and you want the goal scoring, you want all that aspect, but you're worried about the barbaricness of an NHL fight. Right. Listen, Kelly Chase says it best. Nobody's going to get a hot dog when a fight breaks out. In fact, not only are they not getting hot
dogs,
they're leaving their hot dog at the concession stand come in and see what's
going
on.
I'll get my pizza later.
Yeah,
I got to see
this. I want to see this, and I want to see it live. And there's nothing better than watching a live hockey fight. It's one of the greatest things ever.
It really is. Reed, I got to play – I got paired with Marty McSorley when Wayne Gretzky had his event up in Brantford. I think it was in Brantford. Anyways, or Markham. Maybe I think it might have been Markham in Ontario. And he said my job was just to make sure that nobody looked at Gretz cross-eyed.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even look at him.
No, and you know, he had everybody. You know, Wayne Gretzky was so protected. It wasn't even funny because they had guys that were good players and could fight back then, like Dave Semenko, you know, obviously Marty McSorley, but like even a guy like Mike Krzyzewski, like, was extremely tough and would jump in there on anybody if they came near Wayne Gretzky. But there was a protection order there back in the day. There was a little bit more of a code. There was more respect. I don't feel the NHL players today have quite the respect for each other that we had for each other 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so at the end of the day, that kind of is what it is now. Everyone's got a half shield on, so they don't have to worry about sticks and whatever else the case may be. But there's still some tough guys out there. You got Ryan Reeves and Delorier and a few other guys in the NHL. And actually, fighting's up 30% this year. And again, for me, it's entertainment. You know, we'll watch a UFC fight, but somehow a hockey fight's bad and we got to get rid of it. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't feel like they used, especially back in the day, I don't feel like they marketed us enough to try and utilize some, we've got personalities, every single one of us, because we have to. We have to be a chameleon. I had to be the greatest teammate on the ice because if I wasn't, I was expendable. I had to be a great teammate. I could go score a goal and an assist in Columbus one night, get in a fight, have a Gordie Howe hat trick, and be a healthy scratch in Detroit the next night because coach needed to get somebody in, or maybe they didn't have any toughness in Detroit, right? And I still had to come into that dressing room that morning with a smile on my face, and if somebody needed something, I had to be that guy.
Right.
I understood my role, and I just tried to play it to the best of my ability.
Tell everybody the size and weight that you played at when you were...
I'm 6'4". I'm about 275 now. I'd like that to be about 250, but I played right in that 225 to 230 range.
Oh my gosh, terrifying.
Yeah, and
just
I was
terrifying.
I was pretty lean. I was about 9% body fat, and I used to train really hard in the summertime to make sure that I didn't get my butt kicked, really. Like, you know, you were asking me. I fought Bob Probert, and when we were on break there, you were asking me what he said.
Yeah,
he was
tell us a little bit about that, because I saw there's always a lot of chirping going on.
Always.
The bench, and you see Braden Chen. He's a world-class chirper on our team now, isn't he?
Well, there's a lot of guys out there that are good chirpers, but the Bob Probert thing, first off, it was my sixth game in the league. I had been in 5 fights in 5 nights. I was in 9 fights in 9 games, 17 fights in 26 games, and I ended up having 23 fights in 56 games my rookie season. So I was hungry. I wanted to show that I wanted to stay. I wanted them to know. Sixth game, Bob Probert, he's staring at me on the faceoff, and typically it's the young guy that's going after the veteran, right? Well, I'd been in five fights in five games, and I was starting to make a little bit of a ripple through the league. Like, who's this low kid in St. Louis, right? And Bob is staring at me like he wants to eat me. And I'm like, and he's shaking his gloves at me, and I'm like,
what does that mean?
Bob Probert is being very aggressive with me right now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they drop the puck, we drop the gloves. We grab on, we throw. I had a good fight against them.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that think I won that fight. For me, I survived it, so I won that fight. But we're skating around. I'm skating off to go to the penalty box, and he's standing there, and he's yelling at me. And there's some profanity that I can't use on the radio right now. But basically, he said, I'm going to haunt you for the rest of your hockey career. And I'm sitting in the penalty box for my 5 minutes going, what did
just happen, man?
What did I just do? Now, fortunately, we became friends off the ice. Sad days that Bob passed away far too early. Because as crazy a man he was on the ice, he was that loving and soft and tender
and
off the ice. He was a gentle giant.
Yep.
So we became friends. We never fought again. And actually, I know 2002, 2003, Bob Probert, the Hockey News, did a thing of Bob's opinion of the top tough guys in the NHL, and he had me at number four. So
that's pretty awesome.
Bob was a good buddy of mine, and I had fun fighting him, and I got to say that I fought Bob Probert, and I get asked a lot about that one because he's a legend, and he was the toughest guy in the game at that time. You know, George Rock was there. I fought him a few times too. Donald Brashear, Ty Domi, like you name the guys from 99 to 2005, they're on my fight card.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Guys, that's going to wrap up the back nine. But don't go anywhere. Reed and I will be back for the 19th hole. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I want to summarize some of the fantastic things that Marcone, your hometown company that is the largest distributor of General Electric appliance parts in North America, has done this year. We started out with CEO Jim Sowers donating two service dogs to the wounded servicemen and women heroes in our country. We follow that up with a raffling of two suites at St. Louis Blues home games with Danny Mac and myself, and with all of those proceeds headed to the Backstoppers organization. Lastly, the Marcone First Responder, Military, Police, and Firefighters viewing deck at the Ascension Charity Classic was a huge success. So much so that this idea and model is being implemented at other PGA Tour Champions events. Thank you, Marcone, for your support, and thank you for your tireless giving in our community.
The Legends of Golf return to St. Louis in 2023. You won't want to miss one of the strongest fields in golf. Ernie Els, Steve Stricker, Bernard Langer, John Daly, and many more when they compete for the 2023 Ascension Charity Classic title September 5th through the 10th at historic Norwood Hills Country Club. All proceeds benefit area charities. Together, we were able to donate over $1 million to those most in need last year. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com.
I am proud to welcome the Gateway section of the PGA back to my show. Whether you're pulling into your favorite driving range, public golf course, or country club, there is an excellent chance that the staff there is part of the over 300 men and women PGA professionals at over 100 facilities that make up our Gateway section. I grew up watching so many of these fine men and women getting to the golf course at dawn, leaving at dusk, spending their entire day running events, giving lessons, and growing this great game. PGA Reach, Drive Chip and Putt, PGA Hope, and the fantastic PGA Junior League are a few of the examples of the programs run by these same PGA professionals. Go to gatewaypga.org to learn more, or to find your next PGA professional for your next lesson, go to pga.com. The Gateway PGA, growing the game we love.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance, and you are listening to Golf with my friend, Jay Delsing.
I've been looking for over 3 years for the perfect place to be the official 19th hole of the Golf with Jay Delsing show, and the search is over. Please welcome the loading dock to the show. What a great place it is. It is located at the confluence of the Mississippi and Illinois rivers in beautiful Grafton, Illinois. Their patio is killer with seating for over 800, and every weekend the loading dock has the area's best live music. There's no reservations required, they have overnight lodging available, and they also have an ice skating rink in the winter months. And don't forget about the super cool Riverside Flea Market, which happens the fourth weekend of each month from April through October. If you're into antiques and collectibles, you gotta check it out. The Grafton Ferry runs directly from St. Charles County to within steps of our parking lot. Go check out the loading dock and say hello to my buddy Peter Allen. He is a great guy, good golfer, and a lover of the game. Call 618-556-7951 or visit them on the web at graftonloadingdock.com. For more information on their live music schedule, the Riverside Flea Market, and more. The Loading Dock, the new official 19th hole of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. Hey, welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I've got my buddy Reed Lowe, a former NHL St. Louis Blues hockey player, with me, and we are headed to the 19th hole, which, Reed, this is my favorite segment. I was good in the 19th hole.
This is where I excel.
Right,
the 19th
right.
hole is where I excel. I agree with you.
There's a lot of heartbreak on the 18th hole. But the 19th hole was that cleansing.
My heartbreak usually starts around the 14th hole. I seriously think golf should be a 14-hole sport, 7-on-7. I think that fits my schedule a little bit more. It'd shrink it down to about 3 hours. Obviously, that's not the way they planned it over in Europe back in 1850 or whenever golf was invented. But it's a great sport. It's a great game. I absolutely love it. I've done many business deals on a golf course. I've met new friends on a golf course. It's one of my favorite sports. It goes very well with hockey because it's a summer sport, especially in Canada where I'm from. I would go to the gym in the morning, and then I would go straight to the golf course in the afternoon and play 18 holes and hang out with the boys and enjoy the day. So, we've never played together, but we got to get out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll get that done.
I just can't wait to play with you and just watch. It's so fun to watch somebody and play with somebody that has the natural ability to just stroke a golf ball with just such purity. So I'm not that guy because my career was dodging punches and punching people in the face. So I was going 100 miles an hour. And in golf, you got to slow it down. You got to be a silent ninja in your head. And, yep. And I struggled with that a little bit, but I'm looking forward to it.
Before we go into the golf, I have to ask you, who was the toughest guy you ever fought? Was it Bob Probert?
Listen, I think that's a really tough question to answer because there are so many guys. Like, again, I said it already, the 30 toughest guys in the world, right? Right. And anybody can go down at any given time. Watch Bob Probert get knocked out.
Exactly.
You watch Tony Twist get beat up.
Coach Berube is seventh all-time in the NHL penalty minutes. Yep. And we had him on the show, he said, yeah, I had a fight and I got hit.
Yeah,
I got hit hard and I lost the, quote-unquote, lost the fight.
Yep, well, I lost lots of fights and I won more than I lost. But, I would say, like, I fought, Ty Domi, who for me is the number one enforcer ever to play the game. Maybe not the toughest guy to play the game, but I really felt like Ty Domi was a legend at the way that he played the enforcer role. He was a guy that would score 12 to 15 goals for you. He'd have 30 fights a night or a season if he had to. 300 penalty minutes. Ty Domi has the record in NHL for most fighting majors. 339 fighting majors. Like, think of that.
Staggering.
It's unbelievable. And this guy was undersized and fought everybody. He was a player. He got ice time. He got to play with some of the better players. He got power play time. So for me, he's the best enforcer. But again, I fought, Twister, Chaser. I didn't fight Dave Brown or Joey Koser, who I agree with Kelly Chase on this one. Those are the two toughest guys to ever play the game, Joey Koser and Dave Brown, because they could hurt you. And same with Twister. Twister's got to be in there too. Like, they could put you in the hospital.
Right.
Stu Grimson, legendary tough guy. His nickname's the Grim Reaper, right? Gosh. He beat up Dave Brown one night when he was in Calgary. And the next game later that game, Dave Brown came out and beat him so bad he put him in the hospital for 2 weeks and caved his face in.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
I'm
scared of that guy.
Yeah, I'm scared of that guy too.
Losing a fight and landing on the bottom of the scrum.
Right, like, right.
That's one thing.
That's
living
shocking.
In a hospital bed like I did when I was in Peoria and I broke my jaw completely in half. Like my jaw, bottom jawbone was completely shattered. I got a plate and four screws in it.
Did you get
it
with
a punch?
With a punch?
A punch.
Oh, man.
Dude, lights went out.
Oh, I bet.
I was laying on the ice. I woke back up and I was like, what happened?
Yeah, where'd
and then,
I go?
Like, I was like feeling down there, like all the splinters from my bone.
Gosh.
That was worst injury I ever had.
All right, so we're done with that.
This is why I like my life today.
Absolutely.
I get to hang out with my buddy golfer and drink wine at his bar.
Exactly. This is the deal. So let's talk about your golf game a little bit. So you've been playing your whole life, but whenever we're hanging out, we're talking about it, you always have maybe two or three holes or even a couple of shots that wind up hanging you up or let's just say ruin a pretty damn good round that you have going on.
Yeah, I've never shot in the 70s before, which is my goal. I want to do it. And I used to cheat at golf. No, I'm not going to take a stroke there, but I don't anymore. Like, I count every single stroke because I was probably about 8 years ago where I'd move it around or I'd fudge it here, whatever.
Yeah.
And The guy told me, he's like, listen, man, play the game by the rules so you know how good you really are and so you can start to make improvements on what's not. I'm very – Terry Yake, you know, Terry Yake, really good golfer. Really good player in golf. And he really taught me a lot about the game, and he was the one that actually told me about making sure that my score is accurate and that I'm taking it seriously if I want to become a good golfer. And, you know, for me, I just have those moments where I just kind of lose focus, and then – in the past, I would always want to try and make it up rather than just get out of that hole alive.
Right.
And then I end up making it worse, right? Like, just chip it back
take
on the
your
fairway.
Medicine.
Take your medicine and go get it better. And so I've changed that. I'm trying to slow my swing down. I'm 6'4", 275 pounds, and I got a $500 club in my hand. I don't have to be a gorilla, right?
Like, right.
The club and the body will do the work.
Right.
If I'm so, one thing that I'm doing right now is I'm really trying to make my backswing a lot slower and smoother, because I feel like when my backswing's smoother, I can come through the ball a little bit more smoother.
Yep.
I just got to play at Old Memorial down in Tampa Bay, and it was unbelievable.
Really fun.
My boy Chip Smith took me down there for a member guest. It was absolutely stunning, and I played well. And last year, I actually shot 81 at Old Warson.
Wow.
I was coming
down the stretch.
Let's
talk about that.
Two bogeys on 17 and 18 to take me out of 79.
So Reed, did you have a blow up hole that day?
No. I had some bogeys.
Yep.
I had a couple birdies. I had a bunch of pars. But the bogeys got me towards the end. Maybe fatigued, tired. You know, the beers might have had something to do with it. But I was that close to breaking it on a really hard course.
Yeah,
those greens were lightning.
Yep.
The reason why I shot so good that day was I putted well.
Yeah. Well, that certainly helped. So one of the things that I tell people is a bogey is never going to ruin any round. Ever. You know, so there's a couple of things that I tell people that are looking to do what you want to do. If you can eliminate three putting, that's a massive step in the right direction, right? The other thing that you just want to try to eliminate is don't let one swing cost more than one stroke, meaning we got to keep this ball out of the hazards, on the golf course, no OBs, and things like that. If you can just tackle those two things there, you've got, oh my gosh, I'd say 90% of your problems licked. And then the last thing is you got to try to identify your tendencies and try to identify where your tendencies are, where you lose the most strokes, right? Because we're going to go right there. We're going to go there. We're going to fix that, or we're going to make that better. Because for your golf score, if we can help that area make it twice as good or not half as bad, you're going to save four or five strokes. And then with that, Reed, comes this weird thing called momentum. I know you know what it's like in hockey, but you'll feel it in golf. If you putted well like you did at Old Warson, you knew you were standing over these putts and you knew you were going to drop them.
It's crazy to think.
Isn't that nuts?
The first time I ever played in a member guest with my really good friend Aaron Lang from Triad Bank, and he took me out to the Blues alumni tournaments there this year.
St. Albans?
Nope. The guys.
Whitmore?
No, it's in Chesterfield off of...
Forest Hills?
Nope.
Oh,
Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook. Yeah, I got them all.
So I was playing there, and we were in my first member guest that I'd ever been in, and I have this birdie putt, and literally my knees were knocking. My knees were literally knocking. I felt like I was getting ready to fight Bob Probert again. Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't miss this, and I missed it. And again, it's that same mindset as like you have to stand over a ball. And my son's golf coach taught me about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. We were on the driving range, and I was with the kids. Connor was a freshman at Fox, and he was on the golf team. And I'll get mad at my shots. And he's like, why are you mad at your shots? I'm like, oh, I just feel like I should be better. I've been playing for 25 years. He's like, well, how much do you practice? I'm like, oh, I play all the time. He's like, no, how much do you practice? How much time do you come out to the range, grab an 8-iron and hit 50 of them so that when you stand over top of that club and you're on the course, you know what's going to happen with it. How often do you do that? I'm like, never. He's like, so if you just went out and played shinny games your whole life, would you made the NHL? Or did you have to work on your skating? Did you have to work on your shooting and your passing? Did you have to dissect the game that you played so you could get better? And I was like, man.
Yeah,
put it in perspective for me, right? And so I, at that moment, I stopped getting mad at the game of golf for me not being good at it. If, I'm not going to take the effort to get out there and practice and do the things that I need to do to make sure that my game is where I want it to be, it's on me. And so I enjoy that aspect now because I think I enjoy the game of golf better because of that aspect, knowing that if I'm not going to put the time in, how am I supposed to be good?
I think what you hit on is what I, when I talk to amateurs and I ask them, you know, where are you losing your strokes? I mean, Reed, you'd be surprised. Most of them don't really know. And then when we talk a little further, they're like, oh my gosh. So there just hasn't been that level of awareness to kind of break it down to that, to the point where you can go, I'm a terrible bunker player, or I can't make any of my 3-foot putts. I mean, there are some fundamental things like skating, like stopping, like being able to understand the game that you have to have if you're going to try to get better.
I would say my number one issue that I had that I still don't do great at, but I'm cognizant of it, is playing the course. If my good shot's 110, why am I driving a ball to the 80-yard mark where I have a half shot with a 60-degree wedge or whatever the case may be? Like, why am I doing that? Why is this happening? How can I make that better, right? So when I get out there, I want to make sure that I'm either playing the distance of the course that fits my game, or I'm making sure that I'm grabbing a 3-wood, or, hey, listen, I just need to hit a 6-iron 210 right now, and then I'm going to have the approach shot that I need to come in on this. I'm not going to try and put it over the trees of my driver and drive the green, right? Like, those are the little fundamentals, I think, sometimes as amateurs in the sport of golf that have never taken a bunch of lessons or done that kind of thing, that we miss out on.
No, there's no question. And if you're good at 110, why would you want to play the next one from 80? You know, it's just, so Reed, when we're, and that goes under course management, when we're out at a par five that's not reachable, or we've hit a bad drive somewhere, we're laying this shot up to a number within 2 or 3 yards of our perfect favorite club and number all the time. So at least, so you know that if you make it, put a good move on this thing from, you know, I liked 85 yards. I liked 88 yards. When I was there, I'm like, man, this thing's going to be inside. You know, there's just this ripple effect of confidence knowing this ball's going to be within, you know, 4 to 6 feet, 4 to 10 feet, unless I really jack something up.
And that's a challenge in itself. You know, golf's really important. Obviously, you know, drive for show, putt for dough. That's a long-lived analogy in golf. But, you know, your approach shots and you know, when you get to the point where I'm shooting consistently in the low 80s and I want to start breaking 70, now I have to start paying attention to that next approach shot, right? Yep. Like, it's not about the shot that I'm taking. I have to be about that shot, and I have to make sure that I do everything right in that shot, but I have to be able to make sure that I'm setting myself up for the next shot, especially if I'm in a bad position or doing whatever, like you said. And sometimes I think we get there and we're like, oh, I'm just going to sneak it right through that tree with a little stab 6-iron. No, don't. Just get it back on the fairway.
It's not
going to
work. It's not going to work.
You're just going to make this hole worse.
That's where the 14s get themselves in trouble. It's like, you can't do that.
You can't do that. You know, the guys that are twos don't do that. So why would I think I can?
Right. You know, my dad said one thing that was really true. He said, you know, you have to have a short-term memory of the bad thing, and a long term of the good. And we are, as a society, we're exact opposite.
Especially in today's day and age. We are an absolute dumpster fire.
We are. Reed, that's going to wrap up the show, man. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
For joining me. Guys, we are at Wild Crush. Reed, tell us a little bit about PowerPoint and what you're doing so folks know how to reach you and get a sample of some of your products.
Yeah, so we're in all the major chains, Schnucks, and we've got a bunch of products. The thing about our beverage company is we're small, we're boutique, so a lot of the products that we have, they're very good, but people haven't tasted them a lot. But when they do taste them, we get them out. So you'll see us in the Schnucks and some of the other, you know, the Dirt Cheaps and those places doing samplings. And just try this One Hope and our John Elway Seven Cellars. They're absolutely amazing products. One Hope gives back to food banks portions of their proceeds, and John Elway gives back to veterans. And so that's one of the main reasons why we grab these wines, is not only are they fantastic tasting, they're priced right, they look good, right? Like, buying alcohol is kind of like picking out your lady friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to be attracted to it. And if you're not, you're probably not going to like it.
Not going to work. You know? That's right. Thanks so much for joining me today. Folks, we will be back at you next week with more Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.
Spin Golf with Jay Delsing. To learn more about Jay and the services he can provide any golfer, visit jdelsinggolf.com. You'll see the latest in golf equipment, get tips from a PGA pro, and you'll learn more about the game of golf. That's jdelsinggolf.com.
Hey, do you like wine? Have you heard about the hottest new wine bar in St. Louis? It's called Wild Crush Wine Bar, and it's located in Town and Country on Clayton Road, just behind the Straub's. Have you ever experienced self-dispensing wine machines? Well, they are here. The only place in St. Louis and most of Missouri that you'll find them, and it's at Wild Crush. You can choose your size of pour, and Wild Crush will pour the freshest wine in the area for you. The organic argon gas system used at Wild Crush keeps this wine pristinely fresh for up to 60 days. So if you're tired of drinking wine that's been open for a few days, come into Wild Crush for the best and freshest wine selection in the area. Go to wildcrushstl.com and come have one with us.